finally, explore and promote, I would add, the use of technology to facilitate the declassification process. Well, it deals with declassification so maybe that can stay. The chair, we've identified at least four that we can say don't belong there. Understanding that the process of implementation of this law will require a certain amount of monitoring and training. There will be regulations that identify how many copies can be made by each document, by whom, with what copy machine. Where should be kept in the safe and so on and so forth. Now, out of this, there is an issue, how do you deal with all this? How do you promote it? How do you do data? Now, is that a part of the, is that a function of the agency or is it a function of the panel? I think that if we are putting the panel in a position, in a critical position, a position of critique towards the system, because that's what we're asking to do. It's independent. It looks at things, how they're done. And it should be the one that we should be looking at how can things be done better. That's the way we do it. How can we do it better? Whether it becomes where things are kept, how they're handled. So I think that the function exists. It is a necessary function. I think we should be aware of data. And I would argue that it is better placed in the panel, because the panel embodies the, I don't want to use a difficult word, but the deontological aspect, that which should be the progress against against what could be naturally be the static aspect within the agency.
It comes down to leave these things here. That's what it is. Honourable members saying. Honourable members, let me remind you first of all that we spend a considerable amount of time developing the whole concept of the panel. Weeks, not days, weeks, if not months. There was a lot of thinking that went into what this panel should be doing and how this panel should function until we were all in agreement. Clauses surrounding the panel, its establishment, its functions, how it was going to be staffed, how the officers were going to remove and so on. A lot of time was spent. What you're looking at now is, in hindsight, can we give this entity some more powers? Can we give them some more functions? And we're not doing very well if we look at the things that we are looking at. At the very best, there are question marks at the ones that we do want to consider. And the last one that was, because it has declassification, was from the reading of the Honorable Landers, something that I think you wanted to consider. But it says nothing. My view. Do you want to burden your very sophisticated, well-thought-out panel with exploring some form of technology that is going to facilitate the declassification process? It's a power that is a dangerous power, if you can understand what it is. And at the very least, it's a big power. I'm really not sure what it says. My view, honorable members, is that we've gone through the exercise and I have not found anything useful here in terms of the concept that we have developed, a very good one. We have found nothing useful here to extend the functions of one that does have effect to carry out the reviews. He's already said that they, and we have spent time on understanding what it is. Because originally you will remember, we were not sure what it is that we wanted the panel to do until we came to understand, and then we drew up what was a very neat piece of a very neat section. So, honourable members, having said that, I don't know if you want to spend more time. I know we had to go through the process because there was some concern. But I put that to you to consider for fear that we might get involved in lengthy discussions on this particular clause. Honourable Swan.
Yes, Chair, I'm in broad agreement with you. I see, and the fact that we've put flags next to most of these. And if one looks at the clause 59 relating to regulations, a lot of the issues there are covered in specific regulations such as training, such as policy, such as set out there already. I'm very cautious to give this review panel more functions than they've got already. They're going to have a huge task. The question is then, if we are in agreement with that, do we want the agency to have these powers and functions? Do they just fall away? And I think that's a separate issue, such as now the one, the E, which was under the agency, carry out regular reviews of classified information. Surely that, if we take out here, because there's a duplication, it shouldn't go back to the agency, is it necessary? Because the panel's going to do that. So those are some issues we need to consider if we are in broad agreement that we don't need these additional functions. The question is, should the agency be the one to then, or should we just delete them totally?
As the Honourable Swartz correctly says, the question as to what the agency is going to get out of the bill, that's another matter. Let's first deal with whether you want to contaminate your panel that was so perfectly brought into existence, whether you want to now fiddle with it. I see nothing here, Honourable Members, with all due respect, there's nothing here. Everything here is very much something that we think there's no way we can extend this. If the concept of the review panel is to be an oversight over specifically classified information, that's really the issue. Everybody was worried that this thing doesn't get out of control, that people don't fiddle with this thing, that we can see that the thing is properly classified, and that there is a body of people that is respectable, got the necessary clearance, that they look and see that those people that are classified are doing the things right. Now, you want to get them involved in developing education materials, and this is clearly not what we understand. The concept that came out of the ANC, which was very quickly also agreed to by other members of the committee, was this independent thing to deal with the concerns that was raised at the public hearings, to bring in this independent institution, to give some assurance that don't worry what happens. If those people are going to be classifying just the way they want to, we've got somebody that's going to overlook this thing and make sure that they're going to be reviewing. So their concentration and their focus is on the work that the classifying authorities are doing to make sure they get it right. So, honourable members, I ask you, in the light of that, whether you want to consider these issues without putting it in your mouth. Yes, honourable sir.
Okay, I think we should delete them. what I would like to raise is a slightly separate issue on the application, and maybe we can just put it in the back of our minds when we look at the application as a possible additional function of the panel, and that is the opt-in of the state organs. Should the panel have the power to look at that decision whilst we are considering the functions? And I'm just planting that thought, because obviously there should be some process. Dr. Amrassini was very concerned about everyone just being broadly accepted. Now, I'm sure that's not going to be the case. You're not going to have the Sharks board being accepted. But I purely wanted to just raise that. But I think that we should take out D to I. I don't even know whether we need the I, the technology to facilitate. So that is my proposal on that. And the separate is just a thought. Thank you.
Honourable Honda. Seeing as how Mr. Amrassini raised the issue, he did it in passing, but he does this often. He starts talking about one thing and then he throws other things in and hopes that it will pass us by. Now, the idea of allowing organs of state to opt in wasn't ours. Yes, it was yours. Yes. Yes. But now he is saying, well, he knows how things work. You heard him. You see, and one can't appreciate that approach. Because then where do we go from here? And I want to say to Mr. Amrassini, he doesn't know what he's talking about. With the greatest respect.
Honourable members, the opt-in and the opt-out and whatever else it is not on the table.
But you allowed him to speak, Chair, and he yes, made and certain points which were picked up by other people.
And I've allowed you to...
I haven't finished responding, Chairperson, because, you see, if we leave what Mr. Amrassini says on the floor here, people will leave here with the wrong impression. And the point we want to make is we were persuaded by the argument that there should be an opt-in clause. And hence we came forward with the necessary proposals. And now that that has been in principle been accepted, along comes Mr. Amrassini and rubbishes it with contempt. That's wrong. When we placed the proposal on the table and it was agreed...
Sir, may I seek your protection, please?
No.
Order.
It's not out of order.
I expressed an opinion. I did not...
Fine, then I'm expressing an opinion, too.
If you have a role there, but in the sake of a proof of what I'm saying, it's a different matter.
Honorable Amrassini, please. Yes, Honorable Amrassini. You can continue soon. I think the Honorable Amrassini, as you said, he did jump in with this. And he had the mic and he was running downhill. It was difficult to stop him at the time.
This is an untruth. I reacted to an exposition of the Honorable man on the
impossible.
Yeah, but you are out of order. You have your statements which are not true.
Chairperson, I think that Honorable Amrassini, we need to know issue that was that we're not dealing with clause 2 at all. And it's not the first time that you in this committee, when we are dealing with a particular issue. Yesterday you took us to the definition clause when we were not dealing with it, and I allowed you, and I was wrong. Now, it's not the first time you have been doing it, and you did it again today. You started to raise, which was a matter of concern, and the Honourable Landers are giving an opportunity to respond to that, because you have created an incorrect perception in the committee, and particularly because we are live. I'm giving the Honourable Landers an opportunity to respond to that. I don't know why you're calling me out of order. I was merely going to ask the Honourable Landers not to use the word contempt.
because I think that was a bit harsh. But the Honourable Landers is correct. He's entitled to respond to something because you yourself have deviated from your own document. So, the Honourable Landers may continue.
You see, sir, what was the argument back then, which the DA correctly did and brought forward? They said to us, the Algoa Bus Company, the Kukanaab cooperatives, the Johannesburg Zoo are all going to be classifying information. So in terms of Mr. Ambrosini's argument then, the Kukanaab cooperatives, Algoa Bus Company, and Johannesburg Zoo now, in terms of a cabinet decision, will simply be allowed to classify information. What a ridiculous assertion. So, Che, when these statements are made here, it is important that we be allowed to correct them, because it's not true.
Honourable members.
Chairman, I'm listed to speak afterwards.
Yes, Honourable members.
Mr. Chairman, there is a parliamentary standard, as we have discussed, and that is the one of truth. Truth. I did not raise this issue. In considering this, the Honourable man stood up, sitting down, and said, there is an issue behind all this, and that's the issue of the scope of application. She spoke to that. I didn't. Truth. The Honourable Landers replied and said, you are right, and spoke at great length. And I intervene with the marginal notation. That's the truth. I didn't bring anyone back. What you said, Mr. Chairman, is not true. Second statement. I depart from my document. I never raised an issue on the scope of application. I said the scope of application takes care of itself if we put belt and braces on what may be classified. When we ran the entire issue on the Natal Park Board, my statement was, if they have reason to classify, let them classify. It sorted itself out that way. So it's not true what you said, Mr. Chairman, that I departed from my document. It is an untruth. Now, then there is the prediction. I've made a prediction. I don't need to be attacked. So I don't know what I'm talking about, Mr. Landers. Fine. I pick up the gold to it. I'm ready to enter into a wager with you, with any of your NC colleagues, with any member of the public, that within 1 year of this passing, there will be a cabinet memorandum, not listing all the organs of state, but listing a number of organs of state, which by means of cabinet decisions will be required to opt in. That's my prediction. If I'm wrong, we'll see. Now, if I may, Mr. Chairman, to go back to where we were on section 26.
Can you just have a look?
I'm sorry, I'm still on the floor. Is this a point of order?
I allowed you to respond to the Honourable Landers. So you finish with the Honourable Landers, and I'm now recognizing the Honourable Fischler.
Yeah, now, you know, you talk too much, and you forget what it is. Okay. What perhaps is needed here is that we need to have a tape recorder so that.
So, Mr. Chairman, point of order. How can you interrupt me? How can you interrupt me from talking? Give my
good answer. Give me honourable member.
How can you interrupt me from talking to let somebody else interject? This is not parliamentary.
Do you want to chair? Do you want to chair?
No, because then
Do I ever stop you when you want to say something?
I'm in the middle of talking.
You talk when I allow you to talk. That's important. And I have told you that I've allowed you to respond to the Honourable Landers, and my consideration is that you finish on that. So I'm now recognizing the Honourable Fischler. If you want to say something after Honourable Fischler, you raise your hand and I'll recognize you, but please don't interfere when Honourable Fischler is talking. Honourable Fischler, proceed.
Yeah, I was saying that it's unfortunate that we haven't got Hansard where we can refer as some speakers what he has been saying. Now, I think we need to have a tape recorder because you speak a lot and you forget what you and you repeat yourself.
I seek protection. This is an insult. I'm not here to be insulted. I don't forget anything. Let's say that I forget something. It's not my... I'm a professional person. I act here professionally and I don't forget what I say. This is an insult and I have no reason to stand here to be insulted when we are all trying to do a job for the Republic.
Honorable member, it appears to me now that you're becoming insubordinate. I must caution you now to control yourself because you are wanting to indicate here that you are not in control of yourself. If you can't control yourself, honorable member, I can't continue having you in the meeting. You must be under control. No matter what the circumstances are, you must be in control of yourself. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem. Honorable member, you want to be heard.
No, Chairperson, I wanted to plead through you, Chairperson, that it doesn't matter how offended we are. Apply calm as much as we can. And Honorable Amkosine is demonstrating an attitude that says he is much superior to us and he can say what he wants anytime. And we want to caution Chairperson that if he continues to do that, we are going to ask through you that he leaves the committee.
Honorable member.
I actually said my words, Chairperson, that I think the manner in which Honorable Ambrosin is behaving in this meeting, and this is very consistent, that he always wants to have the last word, no matter what. And that maybe we should just allow him to speak last and then we continue all the time, because that is what he wants. Or if not so, I mean, the suggestions are made that if he continues contributing in this negative manner, in such a negative manner in this meeting, that he should be excused from the meeting.
Honorable members, I have cautioned the Honorable Abrasini, and I'm sure the Honorable Abrasini is a gentleman enough to consider what I have said. There's no need. I'm sure Honorable Abrasini, for us to take this discussion any further. We have had the best of cooperation from each other for many, many weeks, and I think whatever it is that has triggered off an environment or an atmosphere that is become tense, I think that it can be overcome by us all reverting back to where we were and just easing off a bit. Taking the matter. It's not going to help the process if we start alleging and talking on. This thing is going to go on and on, and it can be no good for the committee. I would then encourage all the honorable members to leave this matter, to let us continue and look at the responsibilities of the agency. The matter up for discussion was to delete, and that was my proposal, to delete all those things and to keep the functions of the review panel as it is, A, B, and C, to delete all those things, and then to go and see what the responsibilities of the agency that we would like to record, if that is understood and if all honorable members are in agreement with it, then I think we can move on to Germany and perhaps get a positive result from today's work. Yes,
I will, sir. Before all this developed, I was about to address you on this issue. And I understand that what it is that is being said. My concern, and the Honorable Lander said I was not clear when I spoke earlier, so I will try to capture in a single word. and that is oversight. The to oversight, there are basically two aspects, and we do that in Parliament all the time. We see how things are done, and we suggest how they could be done better. That's what I refer to as the deontological aspect. If we take out all these things, which could be phrased better, the function of oversight on the implementation of this act will remain exclusively with the agency. Because under A and B, the panel will be given a specific task, a small task, and that's it. If we want to make of this panel what it was suggested when it was proposed by the ANC and suggested by the Oldenburg Landers, an independent panel which oversight to talk about belts and braces, then I think that either with this language or with alternative language, we need to make clear that the function of oversight lies with it and not with the agency.
Honourable members, if you don't like the proposal, say so, and that we can move on. Is there anybody that, because the Honourable Abrosini is, I think, indirectly saying that some of these things should be reviewed, that we should look at rewording this and that they are possible, or some of these clauses that might well be applicable here?
Chair, does the under A the word review and oversee not assist Dr. Ambassini in that the verb oversee does give the power to of oversight over not only of status reviews, classifications and declassifications, and when that is applied, it can be applied broadly. So one can look, but I think we're going to spend all night going around what do we understand by oversight. I think there is that specific function there, and it goes back when we drafted this clause, we still called it the classification and oversight review panel, and that is why we put in that second verb, review and oversee. If we just wanted the narrow review, then we wouldn't have put in that oversight. So maybe that assists Dr. Ambassini to a certain degree. Thank you, Chair.
And the Chair?
Yes, Honourable Ambassini.
You see, the oversight is not with respect to overview and classification and declassification. I have no problem with the word overview. I've got a problem with what it refers to. The oversight is in respect of the implementation of the Act within the organs of state, irrespective of the scope of application. If we look at D, monitor the national protection information policies and programs carried out by the organs of state. This is an oversight function which will go beyond what is stated in A, because it goes to what I was referring to earlier, the keeping of information, the classifying of information, the access to information internally, who has got permission to see it, and all the other aspects where the panel could perform a function to look at things the way they are done and suggest ways in which they could be done better. So it's a critical aspect.
I got the Honourable Gabatelli and then the Honourable London.
Chair, thank you. I was just going to say it might look like it's ABC, full stop. It's overloaded with work. We come to this ABC after discussing so much and we're saying, let them do AB. It's not like a sentence resistance. It's a lot of work that they are going to review. Let's take it holistically. It's not just a standalone ABC. It's in the bill itself. What they are supposed to do. So we can end up creating another bill if we continue tabulating what they should do. It's another bill. It can be another document of some kind. So I just wanted to contribute on those lines. It might look like ABC. It's overloaded. It's packed.
Thank you, Honourable. Member Honourable Landers.
Chairperson, I think we often have to be reminding ourselves during this process that we've agreed to limit the application of the bill insofar as it applies to classified and declassified information. And that application will be our national intelligence structures, which means in the definition clause, the National Intelligence Coordinating Committee, Intelligence Division of the National Defense Force, Intelligence Division of the South African Police Service, and the agency. The agency is further defined, and I don't have to take you back there. So there's not a whole lot of state entities or organs of state that's going to be doing what we've put into this bill. Very few. Now, earlier, Chair, you in response to the article David Mania, you pointed out that the Inspector General does have certain powers, functions, and authorities given to her office by law. That law is the Intelligence Services Oversight Act. Now, for purposes of the record, although I would urge honourable members to go and read the Act, this is what it says. The functions of the Inspector General are, in relation to the services, A, to monitor compliance by any service with the Constitution, applicable laws, and relevant policies on intelligence and counterintelligence. That's the first point. When the protection of state information becomes law, it becomes the Protection of State Information Act, it will fall into the category of applicable laws, which automatically means that the Inspector General is bound to do what is required of her office in terms of the Intelligence Services Oversight Act. And so, Chairperson, as far as the monitoring and review is concerned, that is already provided for. In fact, the Act goes even further. It says, the Inspector General shall have access to any intelligence, information, or premises under the control of any service, if such access is required by the Intelligence Inspector General for the performance of his or her functions, and he or she shall be entitled to demand from the head of the service in question and its employees such intelligence, information, reports, and explanations as the Inspector General may deem necessary for the performance of his or her functions. This Act goes further and sets out a procedure whereby the Inspector General submits certificates, pretty much in the same way that the Auditor General goes through departments to determine whether they have complied with the law. So too, the Inspector General issues certificates to determine whether the services have complied with the Constitution and the law. And those certificates, Chairperson, are made available to the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. So, while I may understand the skepticism, the cynicism, a lot of people have already expressed and certainly are feeling now, I understand that. We don't share that skepticism. If, and the Honourable David Mania has made this point, that the Office of the Inspector General lacks resources, capacity, then the solution to that problem is not to throw another body or organ at the problem. Parliament lacks resources and capacity, you don't go around creating another body to replace that body and then say, whoopee, we've done our job. It doesn't work like that. I'm also not convinced of the Honourable Mania's assertion that the Inspector General does lack capacity. I'm not in a position to do that, but perhaps you are in a better position, Chair, than I am. Although I would take issue and argue with him about it, but then both of us would be arguing from the point of view of a lack of information and relatively guessing our way through. So Chairperson, those were just my views on the issue before us, on the whole question of monitoring and oversight of what is going to happen. Please, I repeat, bear in mind the application insofar as classification and declassification of information will only apply to national intelligence structures as defined and any other organ of state who may wish to opt in. So we're not talking about thousands of organs of state. We're talking about a handful.
Honourable Mayor, back to the question. The Honourable Everest Senior, it will be noted that you do not agree with this, and when the matter comes up again, when we go through the bill, you would be allowed to, I would give you a short opportunity to try and persuade the committee why you think some of these hopefully by that time you would have also reworded it in a way that it could make sense, because part of what you're complaining about is that the wording really needs to be adjusted and they might find appropriate place here. The state law advisor is then asked to delete. I'm sorry that you have to go back to the original. Delete these things out here where they are. They will then be considered under agency now, and we will see them whether, because I think at this stage we can then deal with the original clause as it is in the bill. Am I correct? Because, and that we will find on page 42. So if the honourable members will then go to page 42 of your working document 30. That is where we are now. We're back to square one. All these functions are here. The question now is to consider whether any of these functions should be retained under the agency or whether we should delete them, keeping in mind what I had said earlier about the defense and the crime intelligence. So, I don't know if the Honorable Launders want to drive the process again. Yes, Honorable Launders.
We could just start by correcting what is in clause 40 sub 1. It reads, the agency is responsible for ensuring implementation of protection of information practices. Can I put forward to you the idea that we should make it read, implementation of protection of state information practices? Just to make it consistent. Dealing with the protection of state information both.
Yes, Honorable Ambrosini.
Yeah, I saw the Honorable Landers turning the page. So on this page, if I may, how do we deal with, in all organs of state and government entities, do we relate this to the discussion on the application clause when we finalize it, or do we not just say, in terms of this act, in all organs of state and government agencies to which this act applies?
Is it on this particular issue, on Romania?
Chair, this is the point that I raised earlier. And it would seem to me, if I understand the Honourable Landers correctly, that when it comes to monitoring of the institutions within the national intelligence structure, that monitoring would be done by the Inspector General. When it comes to institutions or organs of state other than organs of state within the national intelligence structure, that monitoring would be carried out by the agency. If that's what we intend, then that's what we would say, but we'd have to then amend 30 or new 40 subclause 1. In other words, the agency would be responsible for monitoring state information practices and programs in all organs of state, presumably, which opt in terms of Section 3 of this Act.
Chapter 2. Clause 2.
I still want to know what these things are. The protection of state information practices and programs. Are they the things that the minister is going to prescribe by regulation under 48? In other words, are they the controls and measures required to effectively protect valuable and classified information, including appropriate physical security, information and communication technology security, technical surveillance countermeasures, and contingency planning for the protection of information, redundancy for your database? Are they regulations to ensure that valuable and classified information are adequately protected? Are they training and guidance to be supplied to state employees in respect of their responsibilities to ensure that valuable and classified are protected? Are they the organization and the administration of the security function at organs of state to ensure that information is adequately protected, including the establishment of security committees and security policies within organs of state? Are they to be followed? Is this what information protection practices and policies are?
But we are going to look at that. I think there is an understanding, if I'm wrong, that the agency is going to play some form of a role. And whatever the role it is that's going to play is going to be captured together. So why don't we first deal with the first problem, which is the Honourable
Ambrosini
is this way, because we'll get to his minor function.
Yeah. With respect, in your mind, it has always been the case that the agency will play a role. In my mind, the agency has run everything under the list. And it is to me a question what role they. I have no such assumption whatsoever. And what we have so far is classification under this law and regulations to be done by the minister. So I make no assumption that the agency must play a role. If the regulations are written, the regulations are written. And if you want the agency to keep an eye on how they implement it, if that's what we mean, then that's what we should say. But this is the protection of state information practices and programs. It's the same loose, undefined basis on which the entire MIS was run for all these years. You can just tell me what is this? So I know what it is I'm making the agency responsible for and if it's appropriate.
Honourable Member, I'm sorry. I thought I was going forward on a very sound assumption. on my discussion that I had with your colleague, who was debating with me whether the agency could have any authority over the defense force and crime intelligence. And he was of the view that that can't be the case, and I was very much in agreement with him. Mm-hmm. And I then proceeded on the assumption that given that he had that concern, that he was not seeing this particular clause the way you see it, because what you say now, remember, is that there's no place for this clause. Well, there's no place for the agency having any form of a function here. You're not saying that, because if you are not saying that, then I'm saying even in that limited sense that the agency might have some function here, let's first look at the first problem which was raised by the Honorable Abrasini. And he says, what does this thing apply to? Let's say it applies to those organs of state that the bill is going to apply to, whatever the wording might be. So then,
until we resolve the issue of the valuable information as opposed to the classified, we also don't know what we're talking about. The opt-in is for the purpose of classification. But there are still, it's a sort of a patchwork. There are all sorts of sections in the bill which still deal with valuable information, which is something else, you know, public record keeping. And do these protection policies apply to that, or to what? That's why I bored you with reading all of the regulations. Because some of them are to be made for both valuable and classified information.
Yes, as I said, the application clause, yes. Who's this bill going to apply to? That will include the question of valuable information and classified information. Question is, does the agency have some role to play here? And based on what the Honorable Mania is saying, that there should be an exemption here, that the thing does not, if the agency is to play some type of a role, it cannot have a role over the other intelligence entities, and that needed to be excluded and be made clear here. The Honorable Abrasini?
Okay, let me try to propose some language to see whether we can round it. The agency is responsible for ensuring implementation and protection of sensitive information. I think that the sensitive information is defined as ought to be classified and excludes valuable information. Now, there is a definition which relates only to classified. Other sensitive information. Sorry. Yeah, exactly. So I was right. The agency is responsible for ensuring implementation and protection of sensitive information. So sensitive state information. That takes care of excluding the valuable information. No point in the agency going, but doesn't have the skills to tell people how to preserve information against the risk of loss. That must be somebody else's job. Then in programs, well, you tell me, I don't know, but I think we agree that it can't be the agency unless we give them a job and we staff them with archive people who know how to preserve documents. That's not their job. In terms of this act, in all organs of state and government to which this act applies, subject to the functions of the Inspector General. So, it can be finessed, but this language does three things. Excludes valuable information, raising the issue that the Honorable Landers has just raised, then who does the job. But excludes valuable information. It makes it applicable only to the extent that the act is applicable, and it makes it subject to the Inspector General function of dealing with the security agency, so that the agency doesn't check upon itself.
Honorable Lawrence, I see your mic is up.
Oh, sorry.
sometimes while you're thinking. Have we proceeded beyond the proposition that the agency has got some role to play? Because I know that the Honorable Swatson still have a problem with the whole inclusion of valuable information in the bill, and that raises the question whether the agency has got any role to play with valuable information. I think I don't want to get into the debate with the Honorable Ambrosini, but the whole question of how valuable, how information is stored, that whole issue is something which you cannot just exclude. I'm not saying that you find favor with the proposition. You can't just exclude that the agency can't have a role to play in the security of valuable information, particularly because these databases are targets very often of hostile actors. And also the whole question of counterintelligence, which perhaps the Honorable Stibber will discuss with you. The question of counterintelligence, the need to protect these databases. So I don't want to get into that discussion. The question really, honourable members, is does the agency have a role to play in the implementation of the Act? If the agency does, then we must continue. If you feel strongly and you don't even want to debate this thing, then one is going to have to deal with the thing in a different way. Because I'm not clear what it is that is coming out of the corner of the Honourable Mania and the Honourable Smudge. If you can make clear, because on the one hand, the Honourable Smuts is saying, we don't want the agency involved. On the other hand, the Honourable Mania is saying, listen, as long as they've done this thing, agency doesn't get involved in monitoring your police and your crime intelligence and your defense, then it's fine. So, we can get some clarity there.
Chair, I just want to clarify my position. You've been slightly misconstruing it. I pointed out that there was a difficulty some time ago with Clause 30, and that the effect of Clause 30 would mean that the agency would essentially be responsible for monitoring the police intelligence and defense intelligence. I'm entirely happy for the agency to monitor compliance in police intelligence and defense intelligence. I've just suggested that there might be consequences and that it might not be practical. That's all.
I think the word he used for the consequences was warfare. I just want to make you a suggestion, but it's sort of kind of off the top of my head because I think the whole thing isn't thought through. Why don't we say that the agency must monitor compliance with the regulations that the minister prescribes? In other words, all this stuff, you know, all the security committees and the measures they have to introduce and this, that and the other. Especially in the light of the fact that the minister is also going to be allowed to write a few offences based on these regulations. So why don't we let the agency be the policeman who watches that these opt-in organs comply with the regulations. But it should be about classified information, and you don't really, Dr. Obrosini, have to call it sensitive information. Why not call it what it is, classified information? And what we do need to do is to take the valuable out of the regulation section, because there are still a number of clauses where the regulations are required to apply to both valuable and classified. So why don't we make the agency the policeman for compliance with the regulations? Is there anything wrong with that in principle?
Honourable Member, members. Do you want to speak before I say something? I think the way forward on this particular clause on our members, because I see the Honourable Mania is the Honourable Mania has twisted his proposal. It seems to have a different shape to the one that he had put to me. But, oh yes, he's untwisted it. Looks different now than he repeated himself. I think the way to deal with this thing, Honourable Members, is those of you that wish to shall look at this clause in chapter 10. It's presently numbered as 40, but it is in the original bill clause 30. What I'm going to encourage you to do, Honourable Members, is for those of you that have proposals on how this clause should look, should put forward that proposal in writing. Are you listening to this? Let's see a concrete written proposal from those of you that have something to say about the clause. How is it that you want to see this thing? Give it to us in writing, whether you like these clauses that are you, whether you don't like it. If you need drafting assistance, you can ask the state law advisor to assist you. If it is possible, it would be nice if one could have that over the weekend, if not possible, certainly by Monday. So that we can discuss this thing once and for all, because the principle as to whether the agency should play a role seems to be in itself something that people are not sure of. And if you're not sure of that, you're going to want to limit all the responsibilities of the agency setting that's set out here in this clause. I think it would be helpful if we see just what it is you have in mind, and then those of you that differ with the different, we can have a better understanding of where it is that we differ and perhaps come to a quicker solution as to how to deal with this. I think it's clearly fear, and perhaps some experience. Maybe some historical knowledge that has brought about the concern and the resistance. So I think the proper way to do is let's see what it is that the Honourable Members are going to come up with. Let's not burden the state law advisor with ideas on this thing, because I think this thing goes to the root of what it is that the members Smuts and the Honourable Mania are arguing that valuable information shouldn't be here. So let's see how the proposals will look. Maybe you're going to have one where valuable information is here. Maybe you're going to have another proposal where valuable information is not here. And maybe you're going to explain to us in your proposal why valuable information shouldn't attract the attention of the agency. Honourable Members, I think to help you, I'm going to make it easier. Let me rule on that matter. Otherwise, we might argue another half an hour as to whether we should or shouldn't do that matter. So, Honourable Members, the matter that I'm ruling on now is that anybody that wants to comment or put a proposal forward on Clause 40 or Clause 30 as it is in the original bill, because it's the same thing, shall do such a proposal and forward it, circulate it to the other members. If you need assistance from the state law advisor has not indicated that they're not prepared to help you. He assistance that the state law advisor is going to give is merely to assist you in the drafting style so that when it comes to the committee, that it is in at least in a drafting style and not in ordinary language. And we will then look at the various proposals and see whether we can find each other on that. Is that then okay with you, honorable members? Because I think it's best I rule on that one for fear that this debate might go on and on. If I don't, if we don't receive proposals, I would take it that the original, as it stands, is what you're going to argue on. It's not going to be helpful then. That we're going to come back and sit with the same thing that we've got before us and then argue. Those of you that have contributed, I think you need to put it down in a document so that we understand what it is and we can then argue. Honourable members, we now are adjourned for dinner and we shall come back. It's 6 o'clock now, we shall come back at 7:05. Don't forget your obligation. Some of you are going to be drafting documents.
can't get the flag matters, some of the matters that we flagged, to see that you have perhaps over this period of time that we have left these things alone, been able to come closer to each other. That leaves only one matter on your members, and that is to say this meeting is now adjourned.
Can we have a soft copy of the record? The soft copy is an electronic copy. It's covered by the definition of information.
Will you let the secretary have a soft copy so that she can circulate it?
Thank you.